Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
Lafayette, greetings, Hotep, and how are the children? Once again, we're in another day of talking about babies from the bench, helping babies from the court bench. You have your Omega 7 Live coming to you straight from my studio. I am your advocate, the one you need, and I am the advisor you want, and I am your emperor here to serve you. Once again, I'd like to welcome you to another Friday. Today is our Kick It Up Day, and we are also going to welcome the new listening audience and say hello. Thank you for listening and joining us. And to our old friends, I say Habari Ghani, come in and have a seat and make yourself at home. Once again, you have your Omiika Live here today, and we're going to be talking about visitation rights for infants, and does it help to meet the federal permanent planning procedure to have good visitation rights. And because our new gentleman that has come on board, Mr. Ron Thomas Sr., and he is the president and founder of BioStrand hair product. He came on board earlier this week, and he will be featuring his commercials and talking about entrepreneurism and how to get started in setting up your own business. Now, he'll be back with us, a little bit later on, and hopefully that'll be sometime next week, and he's going to get everything put in place for his topic, and he also will be bringing guests along as well. Nevertheless, our two permanent employees who normally work with us, they're on sabbatical, Matt Harve and Jim, also Dr. Jamel. And they will be coming back hopefully in another 2 weeks or two. They've been on sabbatical for a while, so Omi's been holding down the fort. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just take you to commercial, and we'll be right back at you in the airways. We are winners, and I'd like to take you to a commercial. Stay tuned.
Y'all ready? Say yeah! Say yeah! Say
Yes, we are winners, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, family. And to those of you who are new to this room, please join us in our ritual that we do on a day-to-day basis. If you'll stand with me with your hands facing up, ready to receive, we will proceed with the prayer. And if you have any petitions, any requests, please make your request known. You can summon your own ancestors. You can participate in this aspect of the ritual. As we stand with our hands facing up, asking God to please allow us to be in his plan today and allow us to be a part of his procedures, we ask you, God, if you would just assist us and guide us and show us what our part is in this effort to bring about knowledge to your people. And Father God, we ask you if there be anyone that is sick among us, that if they make their request known, that you will heal them and you'll be careful to start the process of recovery. We call on our ancestors now, and as we stand erect, I like to light the candle for my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I light the candle for my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. Mother, we have lit the way for you to guide yourself back home to us. I pour libation. Before I pour libation, I wash my hands and face. So that I don't greet my ancestors with a stale face. I pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit and I say Ashe. I pour libation to the east and we say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and we say Ashe. And I pour libation to the south, and I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. You are now on holy ground. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as you stand to your feet, we ask that you would make your request known, and the ancestors are present here today, so you can ask for your request, calling on the names of your ancestors. We call on Mud Deer, Big Papa. We call on Big Mama. We call on those heroes and sheroes. As you call them to you, ladies and gentlemen, please know that they are waiting for you to ask them for assistance. They are in at your beck and need. So we call on those ancestors today, and we call on those spirits that they may be able to grant us our very wishes. And we also thank you, God, for using us, for letting us be a part of your plan. The God that we know and the name that we know, Oladulamare, and for the prophet known as Jesus, we know as Oromala. We acknowledge both of the spirits as well as our mother spirit and our father spirit. We pay homage to you today. Please let this worship be a sweet-smelling savior in your nostrils, and may you forevermore hold us dear and near to you as you grant us our wish in placing us in your plan today. For those mothers out there, we ask that you will ask for your prayers for your children, and we ask that the children will be obedient to the parent, that it will go well with them. We thank you, Father, for the efforts, and we thank you for all that you've done for us and what you're about to do. And we say amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready for our weekend, we're going to change things around a bit here, and we're going to do, stay tuned.
It's D.A.
on the track, man.
Oh, yeah.
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 Woo!
Welcome back, family. Now, we're scheduled to talk about babies from the bench, and we're going to just do a brief overview since it's Friday, and we have been giving you information. So our brief overview consists of those fathers out there who might need information about your visitation rights and who definitely want to know what the courts require of them. I recommend to those men to make sure that they do have a plan on file that they are following that has been regulated by the courts, and that those visitation facilities are appropriate for age appropriateness, and that they are following through on the plans, and that the mothers are being helpful in guiding them along the way. And I also want you to know that there is help out there for you fathers, and there are specific attorneys that work directly with the men who have children that want to have visitation rights. And there are several of those attorneys that are online that you can actually access. And I want you to know that the attorney at law area of family life is forming now to come together so that we could talk about various different things like expungement. We can talk about criminal law, pro se. So they're in the process of trying to see how they could best service our community. And I'd like for those phone lines to light up at 646-478-0270. It's okay if you call in with your questions. We look forward to you fathers calling in specifically on the topic of visitation rights for our children. Now, I'd like to also say our Always Sisters, Always Friends segment goes right into talking about the visitation rights, individual appropriateness. Is this visitation designed for the child, or is it for the overall family? Fathers, you've got to be very honest with yourself when planning activities for a preschooler. You don't want to make them appropriate for older children where the younger child cannot participate. And it's very important that you understand that the mothers want you to provide for their children things that are appropriate so that they don't start bad habits that they have to, that the mother has to intervene to stop. So, fathers, I know you're busy, but when you put this time aside for your child, you must make sure that you plan the appropriate activities for them and not just something off the top of your head. It's very important that you do that. Now, I want to also say for those sisters out there, I want you to call in today because we've been talking about low birth rate babies in our health area, and we've been talking about why are so many affluential women delivering low birth rate babies. We asked that question several times, and a doctor responded to our request, and we were given the information. There is a YouTube videotape where the professor and the doctors in research are talking about the research that is currently going on, and I will be able to tell you more about that once I get that YouTube videotape, and hopefully we can talk about it from a perspective of giving you names and dates. That research is currently going on right now where they are finding out these professional women were monitored and they were followed for over 2 years to see how their diets were planned and the types of foods they were eating. And they discovered it had nothing to do with their diets because they certainly had the amount of money they needed to buy all the basic four food groups and eat well. And when they discovered it wasn't a problem with their eating habit, but the surrounding environment where they worked at had a lot to do with those babies being stressed out and being delivered prematurely. Now, we know that premature deliveries cause for respirators, which are billion-dollar industries of keeping a person alive and breathing for the infant, and sometimes breathing at a percentage or more than likely breathing 100%. Those machines are very costly, and sometimes the child cannot breathe for themselves. So those machines are being used. They're in incubators. There's tons of financial wear and tear on the family while those children are in those premature incubators. Now, and there's a waiting period for that child to develop to a certain weight before the parents could even think about taking them home. So the trauma that's involved with these babies being underweight is a phenomenon. And for you professional women out there, I'd like for you to call in if you've delivered a low birth rate child or if you're expecting a low birth rate child. Why don't you call in now and talk to us about it at 646-478-2270. Call in and talk to us about it. Stay tuned. I want to go to station identification.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters. Oh.
Share one mind through a vision of our future while
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your moja is the message. We've got to get the message to our brothers and sisters. And as you hear that battle cry, ladies and gentlemen, our efforts are to bring about fresh news to our community, to our families, to let them know that there is still hope for us, and to also let them know that there are people out there in the forefront looking at problems that affect the African-American community, such as low birth rate. Do you know, women, that your low birth rate babies come here with a deficit and they automatically are considered as at risk, having to require certain services from their school districts and hospitals? At-risk babies sometimes don't develop to the full potential, so therefore there are services that are available to at-risk children and mothers. So mothers, you ought to know what those services are in your community. Go to your welfare department, let them know you have a low birth rate baby and that you'd like to get hooked up with some classes. And if before you leave the hospital, make sure you are connected to those classes that are available for those preemies, and find out all you can about low birth rate babies and helping them along to develop. Sometimes they grow up and they're fine and they're okay. Then there are other times when they don't develop properly. But know this, parents, there are people out there supporting you. There are people out there working from the bench to talk to the judges about the best practices and the least restrictive environments for those infants that are born here at a low birth rate. Now, we've also been talking about male treatment of infants, inappropriate training and teaching of a child can also be maltreatment. That is why it's so urgent that everyone that's a professional knows that we have to inform those professionals who handle infants that their services are different, their requirements are different, and you wouldn't know that if you weren't an expert or a specialist in the field. That is why it's important to cross culturally train with an expert in the field. And when I say that, that goes for all those professionals, the judge as well as the attorneys who are going to be handling that child or the cases, because it makes you more acquainted with the types of services that the child will be needing so that you don't further maltreat that child by ignoring the needs of that child. Now, we've been talking about this for a while now, and we've also asked attorneys to come in the room to also buy their time in pro bono and working with talking to the public about pro se and about low-cost attorney fees in all areas, criminal law, real estate, trust and wills, as well as family law. Now, I'm putting another ploy out there to those other attorneys who I haven't talked to. I've only managed to talk to about 10 of them, and we've been working with about 3 of them who are trying to make a commitment to come on board. They're very busy, and they don't have that time to give as it is, especially if they're brand new and just graduating out of law school. So bear with us, people. Now, if you have questions, don't be shy. Light up those phone lines at 646-478-0270. Let's take a station identification, and we're going to finish out Boy Wonder's song.
It's D.A.
on the track, man.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination.
I'm meant to disappear. Girl, let's get up out of here. See the girlfriend can come too.
Because Naomi is feeling fine. And I'd like to also say that you've been following the course and Twittering me, and new callers and new friends are coming in the room. I want to thank you. Now, let me say this. One hand does wash the other. Now, there's quite a few people I've been trying to follow, and you know my schedule is so busy, but I have been coming out listening to your show and spending time in your room. I want you to light my dials up. Now, don't just sit in my room and sit there. I'd like for you to come in and participate. Now, and if you're out there and you're part of Omi's group and family, you ought to be lighting up those lights right now and calling in, if nothing else, to make a comment or give your opinion on something. You know, I'm sure you have an opinion. Don't ask Omi to follow you if you don't intend to follow her, and at least come into the room every now and then. Now, I haven't quite got this thing together about following. I don't know if that means to be at every one of your shows or if that means just to have your face on my billboard. Now, whichever one it means, I know that if you are asking me to sit in your room, I'd like for you to sit in my room sometime too. Remember what I said, one hand washes the other. Now, we're going to go ahead on anyway and look at what has been going on in the limelight for Africa becoming the United States of America, connected to Africa and the United States of America connected. What does it all mean? What is happening to our country? Have they decided to build alliances with Africa, and are they already in that country setting the foundation for various different minerals, products, and resources? And if they are African-American, shouldn't we know about what the deal is? Shouldn't we also be informed about the opportunities? Now, if you're not informed, you need to get on the Internet and start Googling information pertaining to Africa and the United States of Africa. And you need to find out what is going on and how you could find out what part you can play in that situation. Now, I want to also say that, ladies and gentlemen, I think our guest speaker is here, and I'm going to turn it over to him. He's in the room here. He's in the place to be. Hello, Mr. Thomas. How are you? Hello, Mr. Thomas. Hello.
It's not Mr. Thomas.
Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with Dino Dean.
Hello, Mr. Dino Dean. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Actually, I'm calling your show because you're not coming on online. I can't hear a thing.
You
yes,
can't
ma'am.
Hear me?
Not
you
at all.
Can you hear me now?
Well, let me go back to your page. I was just sitting here doing some work. I said, let me listen to Amianka while I'm doing some computer work. And let me see. It shows 54 minutes, 2 seconds left, but I'm not hearing anything.
You're not hearing anything?
Come
I don't
on,
know why.
See.
Could it be something going on with your mic? Because I see you're on here, and I've given you the mic.
Maybe it's my computer. Perhaps it's just my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I just know I'm not hearing you now.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you shoot and talk. Even though you can't hear me, I can hear you.
Okay, yes, I can hear you over the phone.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you over the phone. No, I just can't hear you over the computer.
Oh, okay. We were talking about United States of Africa and what is going on in that area, and what about the companies that are going abroad to set up a new establishment, and are the African Americans plugged into those various different projects?
Very interesting topic. And also what's so interesting about it to me is what's going on in Libya right now by Muammar Gaddafi starting that United States of Africa. And my question to you and your listening audience is this really an all-out assault on the continent of Africa and not just Libya, the total destabilization of the region? Because Muammar Gaddafi, from my understanding, was about to set up a national bank for the whole continent, and they were about to start dealing in afros versus the euros. So I don't know if we are over there taking advantage of the United States of Africa or not, but I would hope that all of us would collectively come together and put something out to the universe that Muammar Gaddafi is not defeated so that this United States of Africa stays together.
Right. I am hoping that that happens too, and I think he's a valuable, valuable person to the African Americas as well as the African. And I know the president is over there, and it seems as if the president doesn't know that he is our friend. Gaddafi is our friend. In actuality, he's invested so much money in the Africans that you would think that he was the national bank.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, the national bank started off with roughly $42 billion, and Libya put $32 billion of their $42 billion in. And what's disheartening is that it has all been confiscated by the West.
Oh, really?
And I find it absolutely, and I find it absolutely deplorable from my vantage point anyway, is that NATO is trying to destabilize Africa once again and take the natural resources for itself.
Well, see, there again lies the same problem with America going in to obliterate various different countries, overthrowing governments, something that they've been accustomed to doing on a routine basis, which has caused us to have bad relationships with America and other countries.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'd like to implore the people in the African-American community, don't turn your back on President Obama due to these actions that's going on in Libya, if not for this simple reason. I don't believe it's President Obama's call. I'm a firm believer that these presidents are selected, not elected, and he's basically just following orders, just as George W. Bush was following orders to do what needed to be done in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And that's absolutely true, Dino Dean, because when they get into office, there's already a precedence that's being set, and they're merely carrying out these orders. And if Obama had his way, I'm sure, being that he was really rooted in Africa and really committed to helping that country over there, I don't believe he would have went against Gaddafi on his own account. Somebody is basically giving him the orders, And I think we ought to get behind Obama and really push for reorganizing for America. He's putting money in different communities and setting up committee people. Matter of fact, I'm due to go to a meeting today that he has been working with Indiana and trying to reorganize. And we are going to have to partnership with various different major corporations to make that happen, because I don't believe that there's a budget to help that reorganization get off the ground. So we're trying to employ Obama's people to say, you know, we need a budget for this, because if you want really real things to happen, you've got to put some money into a budget to have a main headquarters, excuse me, or possibly some in-kind and connection with corporations that could make things happen in reorganizing, such as jobs for our youth. And that's one of the things we're working on, is developing training and development in financial literacy for the youth, as well as training for them so that we can start putting them to work in professional jobs that they could advance themselves in by going to higher level education.
Absolutely, and that's some fantastic work that you're doing, Ms. Seven. And I'd like to also state this, and this is just to our children and the parents. We have to come together and realize that we are in a global economy and that everything is basically a race right now. Everything is a competition. If we do not equip our children, African-American children, with the proper tools to compete in a global economy, that eventually in this country our people will sink to a permanent underclass. And I definitely don't want to see our people sink to a permanent underclass because we are not properly equipped on a global scale. And I have several daughters, and I definitely want these black men to come up because I want them to have somebody proper in which they can go when it's time to get married, to be able to go to the African-American community and have a proper marriage pool, to have somebody to choose a mate so we can keep our race strong and alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the big problems right now with our affluential women who are going away from the race to marry men that have that filthy lucre, that excess money, and saying that, you know, he's more appropriate for me because he can financially take care of me. And if you are already an affluential woman and you have a degree and credentials, you don't need to marry a man just because he could take care of you. You need to marry a man that has the plan and union that you have, so you can marry those unions together to incorporate a better community and a better lifestyle for our race of people. And there's been so many women that decide to go over to the other race to marry because of money, and I think it is absolutely absurd, because we have always been taught that, you know, you can get some money, but, you know, go with that brother that through slavery you had to mend his wounds, and he understood your touch and your love for him, but you're going for someone who was actually your slave master's recipient, who actually held you in incarceration. You have to think twice that we're not allowing you to get rich so you can take the money away from the African-American community. We're asking you to bring it back to the African-American community.
Absolutely, and you really hit on something really big, Amianka. 50% of marriages end in divorce. And when our affluent people in our community marry outside of the race, particularly these athletes, these entertainers, these people in politics, when that divorce comes, there comes a split in the marital property. And you're actually taking wealth from out of our communities by marrying outside of the race. And I just think it's a shame, and I think we need to look at the long haul. But Amianka, we've just kind of really digressed from your show. Who's your guest supposed to be?
Well, initially, we have a brand new counterpart, Ron Thomas, and because he was caught up with some business work, he told me he wasn't sure if he could be here today or not, but he was certainly going to try. And we've actually brought him on board. He's actually a broadcaster, host of a television show, and doing 150 things. And because I asked him to you know, co-host with me, he said yes. without looking at his itinerary and all the things that he's trying to do. So we're trying to let him get himself adjusted. And I was going to hold down the fort, and if he did show up, great. If not, you know me, I'm going to carry the show on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, he comes out of Chicago. You might even know him. He actually was hosting a late night radio or a late night television Christian show. And I think he just recently stopped doing that, but he had a little free time that he thought he could give me, and I was hoping that, you know, he can be here on a regular basis, but we're trying to get our days set up so that he won't overbook himself, you know.
Gotcha, gotcha. And what was the subject matter going to be?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
And the subject matter for today's show.
Subject matter today is helping babies from the bench, and we've been talking about fathers and their visitation rights. You know, making sure that the visits are appropriate for the baby, the types of things that the father's doing so he don't get in trouble with the courts. And we've been talking a little bit about also the visitation with infants and toddlers that are in foster care. See, a big problem that we're having in Indiana is that the majority of our kids are in foster care and parents have lost parental rights. So they are a little bit out of their mind. To say it quite bluntly, a lot of them are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's almost like a war zone over here because so many mothers are walking around delirious about their babies because, you know, they can't eat or sleep not knowing when the courts are going to give their children back to them. A lot of those kids end up in our classroom, and sometimes we have the foster parents show up and the biological mother. And you can imagine the kind of grief they're going through. It's like a grief-stricken environment of mothers who have lost their children to the foster care system, and they've lost parental rights. And some of them have to take classes such as 6 hours of child development in order to satisfy the courts and to make sure that they are complying and in order to get their children back. So sometimes they'll have to write a plan of visitation rights, of what they plan to do when they visit that child. And the father, if he's also in the child's life, they have to write a plan. And the courts have to accept that plan and say, we accept it, and we allow you to, you know, have visitation rights, and the father gets to visit. Now, here's the problem. Most of the women and men here are not legally married. They're actually common law. So you got, therein lies another problem. There's no marriage certificate, but both of them are claiming the child. So then there's extra added paperwork for that father's visitation. Are you paying child support? You know, and if you are you just coming, exiting prison? If so, you need to move somewhere close around that infant so you can visit her. So it is a cumbersome problem. So we decided to formalize the male treatment committee that works with the judge to make recommendation to the judge as best practices for that infant and toddler since they are so unique, and to also monitor those cases of abuse cases and to make sure that they're not further being abused through the system. So one of the things that we've talked to a couple of lawyers about, they're now working with us to possibly bring our training and development at one of the nearby universities to offer to their attorneys who were actually their students who are in the law school, and to also be able to work with them in a way that when we are going out to the community, some of those lawyers will be trained and, you know, administering appropriate services to infants and toddlers who are caught in the web of the court system.
Oh, well, that's fantastic work that you're doing, Amyanka. And here's a question that I have for you. I'm very concerned about the felonization of individuals, male or female, who can't make their child support payments. Is there anything that you're doing over in Indiana to rectify that situation? Because if the particular custodial parent, well, the non-custodial parent is felonized and therefore doing jail time for not paying child support, you can't possibly pay child support if you're incarcerated. Do you have anything going on?
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of information on that, and I'm going to plead the fifth on that. That is definitely a highlighted topic that needs to be addressed. I don't know if you've been watching the papers. However, there is a lot of activity going on with some new laws that was just publicized in the news in reference to the there is some type of I'm trying to think there was a law that they had up under limited access of these convicted records. If they had been out of the law and no criminal background activity for 15 years, then they can ask the courts to make their records, their criminal record, limited access to only the police officers and those people who had access to, you know, police records. However, for the general public, such as employees, they could not access their files. It would become limited, like sealed. So that law was out. Now they've just recently overruled that law. They have a brand new law that came into effect stating that if you have not had a conviction in 8 years, that you can then petition the courts for limited access. And that is brand new. It just came on board July 1st. And we've been working with a group of men who wanted to file and fill out their paperwork to request limited access. And what would happen is their record would show up clean, and those young men could obtain employment because there was nothing showing up because it was sealed, as if they were a youngster having their record sealed. And I know this was being done for the benefit of those victims who were coming out of prison who needed to find work, so that they could start paying back child support. Something really needs to be done in that realm, because they become convicted felons when they don't pay child support. Now, what happens if they're trying to determine paternity? Is the child mine? And therein lies a problem. If the mother refuses to take the DNA test, then you got to get a court order to ask the courts to mandate that this lady brings the child in and has the DNA test, which usually, in some cases, the courts will pay for. Now, there have been some men who pay for their own, and the women refuse to go in and have these tests, but yet they are receiving some type of substance from welfare. So there needs to be some stricter laws that say, if you're getting substance from welfare, you must follow through with a paternity test to prove the paternity, you know, to prove that the child is this person, so that you're not getting state dollars. And then, you know, these women go and get, they actually go and claim the men that have Social Security, because they know that they can immediately monopolize on that man's Social Security check. And truly, they need to prove paternity, because a lot of men, from what I understand, are paying out child support to mothers who they haven't proved paternity to. And therein lies another problem. So family law is beginning to be very cumbersome, and a lot of issues need to be addressed.
Absolutely. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm Yonka. I want to just let you know I'm a fan of your show. You're doing a great job. I'm going to have to get out of here right now. As I told you the other day, I busted my leg up.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, I have a surgery scheduled for Tuesday, and I have to go get some cut me up stuff done at the clinic. So I'm on my way there now.
I hope you get that leg working. Now you're able to walk and everything?
No, I cannot walk.
Oh, okay. Okay,
no,
you get that taken care of. Then you got to get that taken care of, because you may have to come on the show and dance, so you can't dance it up with a broken leg.
Absolutely. Luckily, the surgery is
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Honorable Dino Dean, who always graces my show to bring us good news and good tidings. So we say thank you, Dino Dean, for your input, and do come back and visit us again.
Absolutely. You have a fantastic day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you can light those lights up at 646-478-0278. You can light those lights up. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we are in the pursuit of trying to get family members connected back to those infants and toddlers. And if you are a mother that has children out there that are in foster care and you've been trying to get your parental rights back, you've been trying to get some help for someone to help you compile the visiting plan and the plan, the co-parenting plan, and you need an attorney to help you, you can call in to our location and inquire about our attorneys here. Some of them are low-paying and low-cost attorneys that will help you that have family law background. Now, we also suggest that you check with your bar association as well in your area and talk to them about pro bono lawyers or low-paying lawyers so you can get the assistance you need. I would like to also encourage you, fathers, don't give up. If you're trying to determine paternity with your child, make sure you get someone to write a motion for you to ask the courts to petition this parent to come in to have the paternity test so that you can clear your name and get the services to the child that's needed. Some fathers want to give back and take care of their child, but they don't want women whooping something on them and undermining them. They want to take care of what is their blood and kin. So, women, if you're out there undermining men and you are not taking care of business by having the paternity test done with the DNA to show paternity and you're dodging every chance you can, you are a poor example of a woman if a man is trying to get something in your hand and help you and your child. Stop acting out and do right. You ought to be a do right woman and follow through and take the name of that child's father so that child becomes legitimate and let the father do whatever he can to assist you in raising that child and financially giving funds to help take care of all of his expenses. Now, families are important, but they fall apart when it comes to money. There tends to be a problem of who's responsibility is what and who has the responsibility for putting money out. Then the families start to fall apart. Now, we know that we didn't come here with a lot of filthy lucre. We used to make it off a little bit of nothing. So why are we arguing and going on and carrying on about having excess money? We could make it with a pushmobile and a couple of ramen noodles and still lay together with each other and love each other and not have to worry about money. Since when have we had to talk about all of this excess money that we need in order to be in love? It is a shame. Black people came from nothing and rose to the top. We don't always have to be walking around with a pocket full of money to feel like we belong. What we have to do is show love for one another, and we have to take time to understand love is the answer, and it's going to keep us together and not excess amount of money. Sure, we need money to live, but you better believe when two people get together that love one another, money seems to find you. It seems to get in your hand, and it seems to appropriate in your backyard. Now, you ought to get together with those significant others that help you unite your money together and stay with them and try to get along with them. Yes, I said try to get along with them. If you have to have them come over every now and then and talk with them and spend time trying to work things out and figure out how you can get back together. And if it's not possible, and if it doesn't be inshallah, at least stay friends with your significant ex-husband so your child won't have it so difficult. Because children take it the hardest, ladies and gentlemen. They take it the hardest, and it affects them. And they don't know who to blame. Sometimes they blame themselves, and they go off in the wrong direction. The court system means business when they take your children away. And mother, sometimes your heart is broken, I know, and you don't see those children anymore, and you can't go on living, and there's a part of you that's missing. And that's why it's important for you to find a good attorney to work with you, so that while you're attempting to grow in grace and become the mother that God knows you can become, you work on those parenting skills, and you do it supernaturally to the glory of God. And then there won't be a chance for them to snatch your children out of your home. But you must get in these parent classes. You must learn something about parenting. Don't think that it's a given. We have to be trained in aspects of many things, and sometimes parenting skills are one of those things, but it helps you so that you're the best that you can be, mother, when you are parenting. I don't care what I'm doing academically, professionally, I have to be a good mother. And one of the things that you will beat up on yourself about is failing to rise to the level of the occasion to be the best mom you can be. Mothers are always caring. Mothers are always being involved. And mothers, I know, sometimes the men take you on a different journey and you get so caught up into their lives that you forget to maintain your own life and your child's life. I don't want you to do that anymore, mothers. I want you to put some time into yourself and manage your child. Father, maybe, but mothers, people are going to judge you by way of how you are misguiding that child or if you're not raising him. They're going to judge you, and you won't have an excuse because you can't get out of it. Your name will be smeared, and your character will be damaged for a long time when you fail at motherhood. You don't want to fail at motherhood. You want to make sure you have the time it takes to be an appropriate mother, to prepare meals, to make sure that that environment of that home is safe and secure, to make sure that those children have proper diets and clothing and air and water and electricity in their home. Do not call yourself a parent if you're allowing your children to stay in an inappropriate environment. Environment is everything to a child. It can destroy a child, mother, if things are not proper and appropriately in order. Tell them that mother is struggling. Let them know when you're struggling, and let them know that you are working on things. Don't hide things from your children. Most of all, mothers, don't put your hand on a child. This is a male treatment team talking to you. Don't put your hands on a child physically in the inappropriate way. If you're going to spank them, do it the proper way. Do not physically abuse a child. You'll regret it, mother, and it will forevermore be lurking in your memory. These court systems, they are apting to take your children away from you and put them away in the custody of some other non-biological parent. Now, I know things can be difficult for you, mother. I know that. I know that sometimes you don't know if you can make it. Now, some of the times I work with the men and the mother, and I have seen times where I needed to step in to say something to the father because he needed to lift me up and a pick me up. And I went in on his defense because the mother was acting out so badly. Mother, sometimes you have to understand you must first be a lady. Don't subject yourself to a lower level, acting out in inappropriate ways where you are hurting the child and your significant other. Sometimes you have to give in for the benefit of the whole so that your family can be put together again. Don't be so selfish thinking that it is your way or the highway. It is compromising, woman, because so many families are breaking up over nothing. I mean nothing. She looked at me the wrong way. She told me I had to have a job, so I left. She told me if I didn't get a job, then I better scurry on over to my mother's house, so I'm not coming back. All of this pride can be broken. It can be broken. And don't think that the end of a marriage is because of infidelity. Your marriage still can be salvaged, and you still can salvage it and still work on it. If you put 36 years in, go back and try to spend some time trying to fix things. And if that spouse don't want to be helped, keep praying for them and heaping heavy coals over them. But you remain respectable, and don't be running around like a fool with his head cut off because now your man is not doing right, so you want to get out there in the streets and do the same. This is parent information that I'm giving you. I'm giving you this because we are family. Can we talk here a minute? Can I come in your bedroom, sit down on your sofa, on your bed? Because you need to hear this. And there's somebody out there that needs to hear this, because there's so much going wrong with our families today, and me included. I'm not excluding myself. I'm eating up this message myself, because every chance I get, I'm trying to put my family a little bit closer together, and I'm trying to figure out what I can do to make this family cohesive again. Sometimes you may have men that are so out of their mind and so bewildered because of condition, they can't seem to face you, and they don't think they're adequate enough to be a part of the family. So they go and they excuse themselves from the family. Now, we've got mental health problems. We've got physical problems. We got money issues. And the newest thing, the mental health problem, is probably worse than the penitentiary, because it is a system and an institution. So now our children are locked up in warehouses into people's homes we don't know anything about, and we don't know how to process the paperwork to get them back. I know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I ran into family and friends who had children that were locked in a system, and they were beside themselves. They were out of their mind, and they were looking for help, and they didn't have money for a lawyer. Now, you paralegals that are out there, you got to start lending some of your time, some of your free time. You got to start giving pro bono to help these parents to figure out how to put the pieces back together. If we are going to snatch babies out of the home, let it be for the right reason, for their safety, not to put money into somebody else's pocketbook. Because we don't care for children all in the name of that filthy lucre. We care for children because we love the humane and the society of being a humane person. Remember I told you we were mammals, and mammals care for their loved ones. They have attachment procedures. They are attached to their loved ones, and they carry that over, and that attachment goes on in life in other aspects. So if you are truly a mammal and you attach to children, don't abuse children when you get them in your foster home. Don't take advantage of them, because I will not classify you as a mammal if you are abusing children that are in your home from foster care, because mammals do not attach themselves to infants and toddlers and children to destroy them. It's important that these children are in a safe haven, and that those of you who decide to take in foster children are pure and truthful about your reason for wanting those children. Now, there's been many foster care parents who have desecrated children, parents putting them in foster parents putting the child in a discipline timeout by putting them in a clothes dryer is inappropriate. And there's many more situations. But you ought to have better sense to know that the courts is not going to take an abusive situation from a parent and put it in your hand to be further abused. No. You ought to be mindful of the fact that you are going to be monitored. You cannot further abuse children. And if you know of someone that's abusing foster children, you ought to turn them in. First of all, mothers, I want to say a prayer for you that the foster care system will release those children that are in further danger, and they may be fooled by the courts. I want to say, parents, if you falsely had your children taken away from you, I want to say a prayer for you so that God will be mindful and expedient to get your children back to you. Father God, we thank you that spirit is real. We thank you that spirit reveals all things and brings all things to remembrance. Now, Father, if there be one out in the audience who has put their hands and abused an innocent child, Father, if there has been one that has taken children only for the benefit of the money and they're still further abusing the children, take those children out of their hands instantly. And if there are mothers out there who were falsely accused and who were good mothers but got caught up in the system and somehow got accused falsely, Father, I want you to vindicate their name. I want you to bring them in right standing again. and let the court see for themselves that a mistake has been made. And, Father, we ask you to cover all of the mothers today who are waiting for their children to come home. We are asking you to speak to those mothers and implore them to go and get the training that they need to become better mothers, to go and get the service. We're asking you to speak to those mothers and tell them to put the time in to learn good parenting skills. Now, Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for what you're about to do and for what all you've already done. Now, we say, Father, to God be the glory. And mothers, I want you to lift your hands out to God, stretch them out to God, and ask God to put your infants back in your hand again. But ask God to help you prove yourself worthy so that there's no second time and third time and fourth time for abusive situation. And if your mind is corrupted and mentally off balance, ask God to renew your strength and renew your mind and give you a sound mind and give you understanding and love for that child. And mothers, find other mothers that you can rub shoulders with to develop as a mentorship component and learn what it is you need to know in order to be a good mother. And for you, fathers, step into that child's life and begin to start to parent as if you were the mother. Learn the skills. Take the classes. Come up to date on what parenting skills are. You do not mix alcohol and drugs with tending to children. That is a mistake. You want to leave that alone because you'll fall right back into the same crevices of being abusive parents. You cannot operate a household while intoxicated and full of the spirit from taking drugs and barbiturates. Leave that alone, family. Leave that alone. And come to your right mind and do right by your children, and they will rise up and call you glory someday. They will rise up and call you glory someday. Now unto you who have been informed, thus said the Spirit, go and sin no more, parents. Make sure you're following all procedures and meeting every court date to get your child back. And when your child come home, be a mother to him again and start the process of loving that child back into compliance. We don't have to physically hurt a child to make him compliant. You can talk to a person with reasonable discussions. Now, for you women out there who are having babies upon babies and you're taking the government money to supply these children with income, you've got to make yourself legitimate. You should not be having babies out of wedlock. The state is not your baby's daddy. And the funds that you're getting for those babies, you need to go to work and pay them back. And you need to stop lying on these men who are not the baby's daddy. And you need to come clean and be honest about it. And if you're asked to do a prenatal exam, you need to follow through without any excess force. Now, you mothers have got to start functioning like mothers, and you cannot fall below the level of a putrid human being. Remember, you are mammals, and your ability to be attached to infants and toddlers is a natural one, and your ability to attach yourself to significant others is a natural one. But you've got to use your God-given gifts of being a mammal and functioning with the attachment and emotional skill and stop turning these babies away and leaving these babies alone. Start putting the time in with these babies and showing your natural mammal tendencies. More women have got to show their natural mammal tendencies. Let me say it a third time. More women have got to show their natural mammal tendencies. It doesn't take a whole lot to be caring and loving and exceptionally kind Kindness, have not I drawn you with kindness? Draw your children to you with kindness. Spend time stroking them, touching them, loving them. But do not make the mistake of physically abusing them. The systems have been put together to judicate parents who have decided that the only way that they can talk to their child is to go upside their head. You are wrong. You are in error. That child does not belong to you. You are just a steward called to guide that child. That child belongs to God Almighty, and he's God's precious one. So don't continue to abuse your children. And if you're in an abusive situation and can't get out of it, call for help. Call somebody and say, help, I need somebody to give me a time out. I don't want to hit this child anymore. I don't want to abuse that baby anymore. I don't want to swear at that baby and say you never amount to nothing anymore. I don't want to be an abuser. You can get help, parents. Foster parents, too. You can get help. And you can go to someone and tell them, I've been an abuser. I need help. I don't want to hurt these children anymore. God is not pleased with you when you do damaging things to children. God will not let it go well with you. And you might as well get up off your knees because he won't hear you. It'll be worse than a man who's beaten a woman and goes down on his knees to ask God for something. He said he doesn't hear that man's prayer and he won't hear your prayer until you surrender and ask for forgiveness. Say, Father, I surrender. Surrender right now. Put your hands up. Put your hands up all over the nation. If you know you cannot control your temper and you've been abusing children and hitting them and slapping them and cursing them, put your hands up. You are now being held in this room to speak to you because you can no longer raise your hand against a baby. There are male treatment teams out there all over that are monitoring what is going on in the lives of these infants and toddlers. If you need help, ask for help. Find the help. Don't cover it up any longer. They are warehousing our babies through the system of the judicial system, and some of these babies are going into inappropriate homes, such as foster homes, and they're continuing to be abused. It's got to stop. All over the nation, it's got to stop because we're working with babies from the bench. We're reassuring that fathers can get a visitation plan. And we're asking you paralegals and attorneys out there, if you have spare time, give your pro bono time to these families and help them to figure out what the courts want them to do in order to get their children returned to them. Now, I say unto you, those of you who have been following this show, call in. Call in and give support. And I want you to understand that our babies, the low birth rate babies, are going to have to start growing faster in the womb. So I'm going to speak to the womb, ladies. I speak to every woman's womb here today that is impregnated with a potential low birth rate baby. I speak to those spinal cords, and I speak to that fetus, that it will line up with what the Word of God says, and it will develop in a natural form, and that those women will carry full-term babies and not low birth rate. I speak to those women who are suffering from racism on their jobs, and they don't know it. I speak to them and say, if you got time off, take the time off and go home. And put your feet up and take a sabbatical and birth that child full term. Get off your feet. Some of you are staying far too long on these jobs trying to make that extra filthy lucre, and your child is being born here underweight. You could do something about it. You can get off your feet and go home, like the doctor probably has suggested, and put your feet up so the child could come full term. Now, we can can turn this thing around, ladies and gentlemen. And with your help, we can turn this thing around. But some of us have got to stop being so selfish and so desiring of extra excess money as if money is the key to all things. Yes, the Bible says money is the solution and the key to all and the answer to all things. But money can't bring you happiness when your child is in a situation of being in an incubator for the next 6 months developing, otherwise still baking in the oven while you're home. So we got to find out what takes priority and what takes precedence. Parent, I want you to know the child is at the center right now. He's at the center of your life, and you must see the child at the center of your life and all other things being abounding around the child. And as we place the child at the center of our life, we know that we can then begin to realize that the family cannot function unless the child is in order. And that is why I ask, how is the family and how are the children? Because if the children are situated properly, then the family is back in order. Let's get the family back in order today, ladies and gentlemen. I know I am. I'm working very feverishly to work with my son and spend more time with him, to monitor what's going on in his life, and to be a parent. Even though he's 22 years old, I know it's important because we always say that the person is grown. Experience makes a person grown, not their age. And we have to stay in our youngsters' lives, and we have to put our time in with them. Are you putting your time in with your youngster? Are you going to the college to see about them? And if they tell you they have a problem with the professor, are you going over to assist them? And then if they tell you their financial aid money is gone, somebody has stolen it, do you go over to help him get an ombudsman to look for that money? You got to stay in your children's lives, and you got to show them that you love them. And you don't always have to show them that you love them by giving them things and stuff. You role model for them. You teach them how to execute a problem and do critical thinking skills and troubleshooting. You show them how you would go into that corporation to speak to someone. And don't let them be afraid to speak to someone. You tell them they have every right to tell someone about things that pertain to them. And especially if it's their money and someone's taken away, they have every right to ask, where is my money? Where's my money? And you have to teach them how to use tone control and how to speak directly to someone and not to be afraid. You've got to show your children how to handle themselves, mother. And don't think just because you raised them and they got their diploma and now they're going skipping over to college. You go skipping over there with them and check with those deans and find out what's going on. Because the deans sometimes are the ones you're going to have to sit down with and have it out with them. Because for some reason or other, we're having a problem around here with black boys being able to go to the college campuses and function normally. And we're having a problem with them being an alien. An unidentified person on campus brings threats to the other people. So therefore, they'll take your son's money, but they may not help him to graduate. Parents, I say you can challenge these schools. I say you can challenge them because they owe you an explanation. When you put good government money into their hands and paid their bills, you can challenge them. Don't let them give you that Privacy Act and tell you, but we got the Privacy Act, and you can't inquire about anything pertaining to your son or daughter. Ladies and gentlemen, you look them flat dead in the face and say, look, I'm going to tell you, if I am signing my name to a Parent PLUS loan and I will be responsible for paying this loan back, I am going to inquire as to how many loans he's taken out, how much money he has already exhausted from those loans, and how much left he has. I'm going to inquire because inquiring minds need to know. These new privacy laws that these universities are inflicting on the parents need to be re-examined and re-looked at because some of them are more detrimental. If your child is doing his FAFSA and he's a dependent student, you should have every right to inquire about that child's funding for his loan and you should have every right to inquire about the monies, because if he's dependent, he's relying on your income to determine his eligibility. So therefore, you and that child are entangled, locked as one, giving you full privy information to what's on that FAFSA as well as what is on those loan applications. There lies these problems where they can set your child up to believe that he's gained so much money in loans, when in fact he might not even be over the amount. It might be they're estimating he'll be over the amount. You need to call for those records, and you need to ask your child to send for an explanation of how much you spent so you can see who gave what money and where it went to. Because any time an undergraduate is given $31,000 for 4 years of college, you need to know where every bit of that $31,000 went to. And if they went a penny over, you need to know where that went to. And you need to understand, parents, that is not the end of the world for your child if they've gone over the maximum allowance for an undergraduate in their loans. There is a process where you can ask your school to write an affirmation letter stating that that child will be able to pay that loan back, and they'll release that filthy lucre to them so they can go on and get that Stafford loan and get their degree and finish school. So much is being done to African Americans in undermining them about the financial aid game. And you've got to be informed, mother. That means you've got to take some classes and know what's going on and talk to your children about being conscious-minded about these loans they're signing. And if they're getting state money like 21st Century Scholar and the Pell Grant, and somebody decides to take away their Pell Grant because of, they said, the sensitivity of timeliness, have it checked out through an ombudsman. They can call forth the meeting to find out, did they legally take away your Pell money? And if they did, then let them show it to you. But if they didn't, you can recoup that money and have it submitted for the next semester. Now, I want to say this. You can bankrupt a person in these colleges because the average schools are costing $25,000 to $35,000 a year. And that's a big bill to have to pick up and not knowing you're going to have employment. So what I'm saying is that when you get these big bills attached to you, make sure that they are not private loans, mother. And if they tell you your son or daughter got private loan, you ask the question, why are they getting private loans when you have unsubsidized federal money here that you can get and state scholarships that's available to you? Some of the counselors do not do a good job of informing mother and father about these funds that are available to them, and their children go off to school and they have no access to these scholarships, but yet they want them to load up on the loans. And there is where we need to put our foot down, parents. You do not want to load up on these loans so your child can have excess money in his pocket. Your child can do a work study, and he doesn't have to get that loan unless it's an unsubsidized or subsidized, which is a low-interest loan. Do not let them get these private loans because they'll be owing these banks before they graduate. So get on over there to the financial aid department and start being a real mother beyond the extension of working with your child from high school. You got to go to the college now to find out about their financial aid, and you need to major in financial aid because the more you know about it, the more you can help your child get the free money out there, then he might not even have to take these stupid loans out. Now, parents, don't let nobody tell you that your child is grown and they don't need your help. Yes, they do. They need your help, and I'm going to help you give it to them. If you call me and ask me about financial aid, I will personally assist you. Do not let your child be bombarded with these loans that will go over into their lives and affect them financially and put a burden on them. Set them up so they know what they got to pay back and start the process if they don't have to go into a forbearance. If they're still not working their forbearance, well, you can ask them to hold that loan and discharge you interest while he's working on getting a job or she's getting a job. But don't let these loans overtax you. And don't let nobody put all this money on you that you didn't owe. And then question everything. And I don't care if it is with the dean. Question the dean. Call a meeting and sit down with financial aid. If your children are enrolling in 18 credit hours and they decide to drop 3 hours and the professor signs them out or forgets to sign them out and the child doesn't go to the class, then your daughter or son end up with an F, plus there's a fee on their financial aid package for you to pay $300 for a course they didn't take. Fight it. And I mean fight it. Because that is another way that they can steal money from you and cause you to have all these excess fees right before school starts and prevent your child from enrolling unless he pays that extra money. Now, these schools are about money, and they're about making lots of it. And the government's money is their money. But you must tell them that they must be a good steward to handle the government's money and be accountable for every dime that they take in that institution. And ladies and gentlemen, our time is just about up. I love talking with you, and I'd love to give you much more. But because of our time, I can't stay here preaching to you about how to be a good parent. I just got to role model it for you, and you got to carry it out. You got to love your children. You got to love them with all your might and all your soul. And you got to pray for them constantly. And mother, bow with me as I give a prayer for your children. Father, we pray for those children out there that they don't become wayward. We pray for those children that they will become accessible to their parents and that they will allow their parents to speak into their lives. We pray that the system called university doesn't turn the child away from the parent. We pray that this child will always be connected to the mammal tendencies and be attached to their parents. We pray that this institution, who is so dreadful and money hungry, does not overtake these children. We pray that they are stuck right dead in their footsteps in their effort to steal and rob from the children. This government dollars that's been given to these youngsters, we pray that it's used wisely and is not excessive and that they don't impose on these young men and women when they get the final verdict of what they owe. Now, Father, if we being evil can give good gift to our children, how much more can the Heavenly Father give to them who ask? We're asking you, Father, to give us good gifts. Give our children the Spirit so that the Spirit will be speaking into their ears and guiding them and giving them boldness, Father. We pray for boldness for these youngsters, that they will speak up in the appropriate time and they will not allow authorities to overtake them with their falsehood of robbing monies outside of their pockets from these government grants. And Father, we pray for every young male, every young black male that is represented here. We pray for him that he goes into these institutions and he finds his proper place and he excels in school and that he graduates and come out and that he doesn't fall between the cracks. We pray, Father, for our administration, that they will find it in their heart to do the right thing, even though they've been given big dollars to do wrong things, Father. Over there at Purdue University, right now we pray for correction. We pray for them to do the right thing, even though they find themselves in an inappropriate position because of their jobs. They have to lie, cheat, and steal, and destroy. Father, we denounce those administrators' efforts to do dirty things to these young people. And if they're doing them now, Father, let them fall in the holes. And if they got new jobs and promotion, Father, take the promotions away and make them jobless, Father. Make them jobless so that they can see that their efforts have not been applauded by you, Father. If they've tried to destroy one child over there and covered up anything, Father, when they go to work on Monday morning, let them have a pink slip in their box and send them home. We cannot afford to pay these federal loans and grants that are given to us, and they're taken away all at the drop of a hat because these undermining deans and professors and financial aid people are conspiring to rob from the children. Father, we ask that you will step in, and each one of those people who have done their filthy work, turn their lives around. Father, move them up out of that job as quick as they got in it. Return them home with their pink slip, Father. And, Father, we decree it this day because mothers and fathers are incurring these bills from these Parent PLUS loans and the monies they're putting out. Father, we ask you to go in and stop it immediately. And we say to God be the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for going all the way with me on that. And we're going to have to do our disappearing act, and we're going to have to tell you that you got to stay connected to your youth more so than ever before. And you've got to put the time in with them, and you got to help them weather the storm, and you got to show them that times may be hard, but all things work together for good for them that love God according to his purpose. Now, Father and mothers, you can be the parents that God has called you to be. Believe in your heart that God has given you the whereabouts and the tools you need to be the best parent, and you will be. Speak things that be not as though they were, and walk in the counsel of the gods, and allow God and the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And do not be weary in well-doing, and this too will pass. Have a great weekend. I'd like to wish you and yours a great weekend. We got to get
DA
out of here. I got to do my best to hear that.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free.
Baby, I'm your destination.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll see you on Monday. Baba Booey to you, y'all, and Odabo.